You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560.
Tom, don't forget the E's on the end of creative and the E on the end of goose. Goosey, goosey, gander. And all that kind of good stuff. And let's see where I just lost my place. But anyway, we come up to that part of the program where you have to dial 1-415-808-5600. And, of course, we now listen to Edie and all of the wonderful events going on in the Bay Area. Welcome, Edie.
Good morning, everybody. Hello, Dad. All right, so we're praying for rain because that's coming today, and we can make it heavier by praying harder. Okay, I think so. That works for me. All right, here we go. Blue Winds Botanical, for those that are serious about plant science. Bountiful spring, edible and medicinal greens of the United States. Information-packed class, March 29th, 6 to 8:30. It's online, $35 by Zoom. You want to register and pay, you can go to www.paypal.com and look for Blue Winds Botanical. And that group is the group putting it on. You could also directly email bluewindbmc@gmail.com. So that was bluewind, B like boy, M like Mary, C like Charlie, @gmail.com. Okay, Wednesday, March 30th, practical drought solutions for your home, offered by the Sonoma County Energy and Sustainability. And you can go to their event at sonomacounty.zoom.us from 10:30 to 11:30, March 30th on Wednesday this week. It's the end of it is. Yeah, it's the end of the month this week. All right, so California Native Plant Society, how to find and name your new plant species. Well, you know, if it happened to walk across one. The Redbud chapter of the California Native Plant Society is having this event March 31st at 6 p.m. on YouTube. And so you go to get that link, you go to cnps-org.zoom.us. That's the Redwood chapter, Native Plant Society, so you want to look for that source. And that's happening March 31st, 6 p.m., so you can ditzy around YouTube and find the California Native Plant Society. You can also go to cnps-org, probably, and look for any connections you can find for your local chapter as well. San Francisco Flower and Garden Show is coming up April 7th through the 10th. This will be happening this year at the Alameda County Fairgrounds, 4501 Pleasanton Avenue. And I'm sure we'll be talking about more of that later, but that's coming up real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, just in another week. All right, so that sounds great. All right, so we also have our announcement that we do with the honeybee swarm season. And this is put out by the, or informed by the Sonoma County Beekeepers Association. You can go to their website to find out more information and possibly connect with your own bee area at www.sonomabees.org. So if you find a swarm and you need to report it so that you can find a better home for them, perhaps, you go to www.sonomabees.org. The San Jose Garden Club is having their annual sale. Now, this is coming up at the very end of April, but just put that on your calendars. That'll be happening in San Jose on the 30th, 29th, and the 30th. So that's a Friday and a Saturday. And more on that later on. But you can always go to www.sanjosegardenclub.com. Sanjosegardenclub.com for more information. All right, and the Green String Farm Institute is having a seminar April 2nd. And that will be coming up on that date, Saturday, April 2nd, having a discussion on water and watering, always an important topic. And for more information, you can email Linda at lfahey@greenstringfarm.com, greenstringfarm.com, it's hard to say. And that's located actually in Petaluma on Old Adobe Road. So you can find out more information by emailing her and finding out what's going on with them at that store, which is called the Green String Farm Store. The UC Master Gardeners is having the incredible edible plant sale that's happening now, and that will be going on until they sell out. So that opened at 8 this morning, but it will continue. So if you're itching to get some plant starts that you'll pick up April 10th, 9th and 10th in Pleasanton, go to acmg.ucanr.edu or go to incredibleplantsale.com. And you'll be able to find all the links that you need to go in there and take a look at their starts and order some up, $4 per plant. And that will help out that Master Gardeners community. And then again, with the other Contra Costa County Master Gardeners, they're having theirs called the Tomato Plant Sale. That'll be happening next weekend. So that'll be the sale part, and then you go and pick it up later, ordering online. So with them, go to email ccmg@ucanr.edu. For more information, that'll be a pickup in Walnut Creek. So one's in Pleasanton, one's in Walnut Creek, by both garden groups of the Master Gardeners Associations. So ccmg@ucanr.edu, or for the Alameda, it's acmg.ucanr.edu. So one's an email and one's a website. So they're interchangeable. You know how that goes. April 2nd, Saturday at 10 a.m. So you can see my hand waving, right? Next weekend, April 2nd, in-person free composting workshop, Garden for the Environment. Tickets on Eventbrite. So go to eventbrite.com. Look for gardenfortheenvironment.org to find out how you can attend the in-person free composting workshop at 1590 7th Avenue in San Francisco. That's gardenfortheenvironment.org. They have all sorts of events coming up, high educational events. Ladybug Release. This is at Forney Farm and Nursery LLC in Santa Rosa. That's at 4000 Barnes Road in Santa Rosa, happening Sunday, April 3rd, from 9:30 to 2. They're also having their spring plant sale, of course, at the same time. So if you got some grandkids or other kids or little kids or medium adult kids, bring them to the Ladybug Release at the Forney Farm. That's at 4000 Barnes Road, Santa Rosa, and April 3rd, 9:30 to 2. April 30th, Cherry Blossom Festival. So put this on your calendars. This is happening in Cupertino at the on Stevens Creek Boulevard. It's a 28-acre area, so I'm sure that's enough of an information. There's also an information phone number, 408-777-3120, for their Cherry Blossom Festival in Memorial Park in Cupertino, April 30th, also May 1st, from 10 to 5:30. Sonoma Garden Native Plant Sale is April 1st. That's sponsored by the Sonoma Ecology Center, and that's happening at 9 a.m. At the Sonoma Garden Park. That's located at 19996 7th Avenue, or 7th Street, sorry, 7th Street in East in Sonoma. And that's what I've got to bore you with. Now let's go on to calls.
Yeah, really. Hi there, Edie, and thank you so much for taking that off my back. Anyway, this is Bob Tanum, and I'm looking at all sorts of things. Our number, if you'd like to call, is 1-415-808-5600. In the meantime, let's go to Ann in San Ramon. Hi there, Ann.
Hi, Bob. I have a question about a mint plant. My neighbors planted mint next door to me, and it's gone under the fence and into the area where I plant my garden. I have been trying to pull it out, but it's got those giant runners. How can I get it out and keep it out?
Well, yeah, and there is an organic weed killer, and the name of the company that I recommend, the same one that Edie is trying to find in her thing. I had it someplace. It's called
Pulverize.
And it's available. Pulverize. I bought it at... Uh-huh. It kills ivy as well, so you know it's a pretty good product if it can do that. And it was available at Ace Hardware stores.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not quite sure. You might just phone them and see if they have it. And if they don't, they can get it because it is carried by the chain of Ace Hardware. So, yeah, there you go. And now, isn't it wonderful that people can plant mint? I have no idea why, but I guess they need a lot of it. I like mint jelly.
It's gotta be all over their yard.
Oh, God, yes. And it's, I had an assistant chef at one of my places that said, well, I'm going to plant mint in this garden. I said, no, you're not. you can put it in a pot and put it in the garden, but don't put it in the ground in my garden at New Beginnings. It was a really interesting kind of situation. And they almost did. They did. And, you know, they put the pot on the ground and it got out of the pot. But we were right on top of that when we saw the roots coming out. And I said, no, you don't. I'm not going to have you there. And so it isn't there. We removed the problem before it could happen. So anyway, Anne, yeah. But try that product. I've had some really good success with it. And, you know, if ivy, you know, if you want to get rid of ivy, you can use that product. And it gets rid of it. So there you go. And I think maybe you'll have good luck with that. Okay?
Do I need to notify them? I mean, I don't want to put something down. And, well, you said it's organic, but I don't want to poison their plant and then have them use it, you see? You know?
It won't. That's not the problem, no. It won't be a problem that way. Because these materials that go through the thing, come to think of it, it might be... No, put it on the outside of your problem. Don't do the whole garden with it. And it will get through all that kind of good stuff. Another way to do it, of course, is to dig a trench between you and your neighbor. And
actually, I started doing that. And pulling out those long runners. So now I've got a lot out. Now, does this pulverize need to go on new growth or?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is there going
to
be?
So you have to let it sprout. You have to spray it, and then it goes into the plant's system and roots. And you don't have to use a lot of it. You know, very lightly on the foliage.
Okay. And how long do I need to wait to plant garden plants in there?
A couple of weeks would be probably fine. Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Hey, thank you very much. Yeah, that thing is, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, a lot of people plant it, you know, because they like, I guess if you want to make mint jelly, you can do that and stuff like that. But you got to be continuously on top of it if you plant it in your own yard. So, yeah, there you go. All right.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bob. I appreciate the help. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
All right, and tell a neighbor they can listen too. You know, there you go. All right, Ann, thank you for that. We're going to, our numbers, by the way, something going on with my system this morning. I'm going to take a nap right after this program's over because I didn't get a good night's sleep. So anyway, we're going to take the break, and we're going to take your calls right after that. And the numbers are 1415, then 808-5600.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today. This is Talk Radio 560 KSFO. You're listening to Bob Tanum in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Welcome back to Talk Radio 560 KSFO. Bob Tanum here in your garden. And let's go to Steve in Cupertino. Hi there, Steve.
Hey, Bob. Got a question for you regarding fertilizer using coffee grounds. Does that work?
No. Not as a complete fertilizer.
Like a soil amendment, maybe, because after I got all these coffee grinds after making coffee. Somebody told me you could just put it and mix it in the ground, and it would not fertilizer, but would, I guess, loosen it up.
Okay, coffee grounds are acidic, so it depends upon the pH of your ground whether or not that would be beneficial.
Oh.
I usually, when I use coffee grounds in the garden, I usually spread them very thinly. And so you don't get a big jolt to the plant that's there.
I see.
If you had, you want to grow blueberries, it's an ideal thing to put on top of it and that type of thing. So, yeah, coffee ground, you know, the real best use for coffee grounds, if you had a worm box and you wanted to grow worms, they love that. And boy, I'll tell you, there's nothing better than coffee grounds having gone through the gut of the worm.
Wow. Well, I was thinking I have a planter box with tomatoes, but maybe that wouldn't be the...
Okay, now, if you had a planter box, you probably use synthetic soils, you know, potting mix, planting mix, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's already acidic, so I would be very judicious with coffee grounds in that situation. If they're in the ground, which our pH is so rock bottom kind of crud, it would be more beneficial in that area in that it will help neutralize from alkaline to acid. So pH 6.5 to 7.5 is ideal for soil. So just to let you know that. Okay.
Well, this is really a big planter box, and it's got dirt in there and horse manure and, you know, just some potting soil all blended together. So.
Well, it's up to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Another question.
If you have a lot of it, you know, God, there's so many ways to use coffee grounds. What I usually use them for is if I have white fly and just spray the, you know, make a second cup of run through on your coffee maker with those grounds, use that material and spray for the white fly. 100% great. It works. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's the caffeine that they don't like, or maybe they do like, and they throw rocks at each other. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, yeah. Steve, there you go.
All right. Got a quick question for you on
sure.
fertilizer?
Yeah.
Is this the time to be putting the fertilizer in the different plants right now?
Oh, yes, especially for roses. This is the time I would start with the alfalfa on roses. This is the time of the year where I just scatter alfalfa all over the place. Alfalfa pellets. That's why I recommend them, because they're easy to work with. Yeah. Okay.
Very good. Okay, Bob. Well, thank you very much. Really enjoy your show every week and all your information. So.
Well, I'm delighted that you do, because
yeah,
it's people like you that keep this program on the air. Anyway,
yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
And now we're going to go to Bill from Round Rock. I've heard an awful lot, Bill, about Round Rock this week and next last week about a tornado going through Round Rock and all that type of thing. And then you come on my email and ask me a question. And I said, go ahead, we'll ask that question on the air. And here we go. You had a terrible winter.
Tons of
Bill?
Freezing. You know, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. We got you now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. A lot of freezing, which caused nothing but trouble, even regardless of my blanketing of our, especially our front flower beds with various hibiscus and all kinds of other things going on. But yeah, we actually, about 2.5 miles from the house here was a very significant tornado that came through. If anybody was watching, maybe on YouTube or maybe it came on the news, but this particular tornado went right over the top of this Kalahari Resort and Convention Center, which is supposed to have the largest indoor water park in the country. But yeah, I mean, the camera caught it on the rooftop cam coming straight at it and then right over it. And very, you know, about 1,000 properties or so either were destroyed or significantly.
Well, I was concerned when I saw that news article. Did it hurt the building?
Not the casino itself.
Okay.
No.
That's good because as long as it didn't hurt the casino, we're in good shape.
Actually, I keep calling it a casino. It's not a casino. It's a Resort and Convention Center. So it's the
Sorry, I misspoke.
But anyway, there you go. The closest casino proper is over in Oklahoma. But
okay, now you had a problem with your hibiscus, right?
Well, yeah. So anyway, I just, I've reloaded and I've got stuff in pots. But what I was curious about is how well they might do if I just, dig the holes or pull up the dead, redig the holes. Because I left the dead in the ground just thinking, okay, I'm going to wait and see if anything starts coming out of them. But I don't believe that's going to be the case. So what I'm wondering is if I just leave them in the pots, put them in the ground, cover them up, treat them, feed them, et cetera, and then around December next year, dig them up in the pots and then trim them way back and, put them in the garage. I'm wondering if they're, something like hibiscus, lavender, various other plants, but just, bring them in.
You're surprising me because I thought lavender was almost indestructible. As far as cold weather is concerned, but I guess it can't get, if it gets down and around the 25 and below, it's going to freeze.
I think it may get spoiled with the hot, it climatizes itself maybe to the super hot temp. And then when it gets cold, it shocks the bejesus out of it.
Surprises.
Well, that makes sense, Bill. It does make sense to have that happen. So here's what I suspect. I don't like the idea of the hibiscus in a container that you buy at a nursery. If you wanted to transplant it into a larger container and then sink that container in the ground, I think I could go along with it that way. Okay.
Okay, so maybe just get larger, still plastic containers, but with more room, put something in the bottom of it, some alfalfa, some
regular planting mix or something on that, or sure. And Bill, I think that would be it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, I think that'll save me from spending a lot of money because actually we've got here in time, the first year we were here in 20, just in time for snow, and we'd already planted some stuff and lost that. And then 2021 and 2000, lose.
Well, man's trying to tell you something.
but you got to have color, right?
Yeah, I know. But you might try the deciduous hibiscus, which will give you, it disappears every winter and then comes back in the spring.
And I something I did cover was Rose of Sharon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which that made it. That made it through. Last year, some Star of Texas made it, but it doesn't look like it's coming back this year. So, but the Star of Texas is real pretty, and they're
it's a pretty hardy thing. Yeah,
super big blossoms. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, stay with it. At least the windmills didn't freeze this year.
my new ginkgo is got leaf coming out on it, and the little Texas redbud that we replaced the trees we lost, that seems to have made it through the winter. On they were planted in like October, November.
Well, you're not in California anymore, so you have to be aware that you're in a little bit different situation than we have in California.
Oh, I know. And actually Monday it was funny because I was saying to myself, hey, we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto.
There you go. Well, go click your heels and let's see what happens. All right.
Right on, Bob.
All right. You take care, Bill. Okay.
See you, Edie.
Yep. See ya.
See ya. Talk to you later. Bill, thank you for that call. We're going to take a little bit of break right now. So Lynn, Laura, and George, just hang on. I'll be right back. This is Bob Tanham in the Garden. Talk Radio 560 KSFO. Our numbers, if you'd like to phone, 1-415 then 808-5600.
This is Bob Tanham in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Tanham here in your garden. Let's go to Lynn in Berkeley. Hi there, Lynn.
Hello there, Bob. I have some ornamental grasses, both in pots and in the ground. And I wonder if it's, and even a blood grass that's in the, I think it's that fancy dark red with nice.
Yeah.
Is it too late to be cutting this stuff back?
I don't believe so. You know, normally we'd have had a lot of rain, and we don't have that, except hopefully it gets some today. No, I don't. Yeah, no, you can pretty much cut that stuff back. Have you seen any real vigorous new growth yet?
One of mine is just kind of, maybe it's a sedge. It has kind of an orangey, you know, golden. That's pretty well grown back beautifully.
Yeah.
And the other one, the reddish ones, look pretty decent. But if I cut them down, it would probably refresh them.
Yeah, one of the things that I look at, one of my neighbors who never cuts their ornamental grasses back far enough, it's a 2-foot thing that they still have. I said, well, cut it back further. And they cut maybe a few more. They just don't do what I told them to do. Because when a fountain grass, of which many of these are really beautiful in the new growth, the old growth just prevents them from really developing into a beautiful kind of display for the spring and summer and winter crop. So, yeah, cut it back.
How far back?
Depends on the variety, but I usually only leave about 2 inches.
Okay, great. And also, is it a good time to cut the buddleia down, trim it up?
I think you're okay with that. But see if you have any new growth. If you do, then it's probably too late.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
There we are, Lynn. Thank you so much for the call, and, you know, go girls. Anyway, thank you. Let's go to Laura in Palo Alto. Hi there, Laura.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Bob. Good morning. I have a question about my sugar snap peas. So I had a good harvest, many sugar snap peas, and now there are no more flowers, and I'm wondering if these plants are done. Should I start over with new seeds, or can I expect another crop from these?
Oh, okay. Unless you see blooms on the on the plant itself right now, I think the season pretty much coming to a close for sugar snaps, but that's almost a judgment call on your part.
Okay. Okay, thanks for that. And I have another question. I have some sea status in the ground, and this year they're not doing so well. The leaves are kind of red. The older leaves are red, and it's not flowering very well. And I'm wondering, you know, what the problem is there.
When was the last time you gave some fertilizer to them?
Oh, well, quite a while, yeah.
Then I would do that. Yeah, cut them back a little bit, and I would, be very careful with that. But then if you see new growth, let it grow. And if you don't see new growth, then you can cut that off.
Okay. Okay, Bob, thank you so much. I appreciate you and your show every week. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate my sitting here and listening to all the wonderful calls that come into my phone at 808-5600. Anyway, Laura, thanks for the call. Let's go to Kemper in Vallejo. Good old Kemper. Hi.
Howdy. Hey, we've got about a half an acre covered with cottonwood trees, and we have discovered that we're getting so much noise and stuff from the other neighbors and light in the middle of the night and stuff like that. We'd like to build a little screen that doesn't look landscaped to sort of buffer the sounds and the dogs and the lights and things. And I'm trying to figure out, because these cottonwoods, they send roots out from shoots everywhere, and everywhere you go, you're going to step on this little stub or trip.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure if there's anything you can plant in this root-infested land, like willows, you know, just stick willows in there, or pomegranates, or anything that would give me a
more
sort screening of natural-looking, effectively hedge-type thing. But, you know,
you might, Kemper, you could probably try to. No, I almost said poison oak, but I don't recommend that. You can plant a vine that would crawl in and amongst some of those cottonwoods, and using that as their framework to thicken up the mess that you have.
Well, that sounds pretty good. As far as digging, if there's all those roots there, can you still plant in amongst the roots and hope for some success, or should I be building up a layer of little piles to plant in?
No, you should be able to dig a bigger hole. And so you, in the bigger hole, you replace it. And by the time the competition from those roots get into where you planted the new plant, probably they'll be able to compete, okay?
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Thanks a million.
All right, Kemper. Well, thank you for the call, and thanks for listening. All you people are listening, and that's great. John is in San Jose. Hello there, John.
Hi, Bob. Yeah, I wanted to comment on the mint. I put the mint in my tea. That's why I grow it. But, boy, I can't get it to grow in the garden. I think it's probably something with my soil. And I want to get it tested. Where do I go to get my – it's got to be, you know, a problem there. Where do I test my soil?
Well, I do have business cards to tell – John, give me an email on that. I have a stack of places that you can do it. Actually, you could go online and say soil testing outfits.
Okay. Is this something, I guess, do you mail it in or do you take it? Do you know? Are these places nearby that you have cards for?
No, they're usually in some place in the Bay Area, but not in San Jose. Well, no, yeah. There is one in San Jose, but I'm not sure. I don't have a car. You phone Yamagami's Nursery?
Yeah, I think I asked them. I can't remember what. I'm not sure that they do that.
And what is the problem with your, just something won't grow in it or something?
Well, I put in the mint and it doesn't. And another thing that you told me not to once plant a while back because it'll take over. It didn't take over. It just died. So I figure there's something wrong. I grow the mint. I can grow my mint in pots, but they don't grow very much.
Not as well. Yeah. Right. No, they love the ground. In fact, they probably like your neighbor's yard better than yours.
I wish I had that problem that lady had. I would love that. But, you know, the thing also, now, I put the tea, you mentioned earlier, I didn't know this, I can put the tea on my blueberries because I save it up ever since you said it will replace the coffee grounds because it is acidic, right?
Yeah, right. That is correct. Sure.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad to finally learn that because I want to get the blueberries going better. And one last thing I wanted to tell you, your friend Jeff Lowenthal announced that he may be running for Congress for the open seat in Alaska.
Really? I didn't hear about that. Well,
yeah,
Jeff and I, we don't normally communicate between each other, that type of thing, but I'm interested. How did you find that out?
I read it on the Anchorage website for the newspaper.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I don't. Yeah, okay. That's interesting. I'll give him a call. All right,
okay.
John.
Thank you, Bob.
Fill me in with all the other good things going around. Just a wonderful thing. Okay, John, thank you so much for listening all these years. Let's go to Stuart in Fremont.
Hi, Bob. Happy Sunday.
You too.
First thing, mint. That's not why I called, but here's two reasons I have mint: mojitos and Mai Tais. I have mint everywhere in my yard.
It also deters mice in the house. That's another thought that I'm, there are uses for it. Yeah.
Yeah. The reason for my call is my wife and I just picked up, and it was from a big box store, a 1.5 gallon of a peonies with a bunch of buds. You know, nothing. What's the best tips you can give us to make sure that peonies has at least a good spring and summer?
Don't plant it too deep. Have really good, rich soil. And put ice cubes on it in September.
Ice cubes in September?
Yep.
Okay. Will it tolerate breezes, wind, or do you want it in more of a sheltered part of the garden?
No, the more you crap on it, the better it is.
Okay. I
was going to say
that.
Abuse it, but I couldn't get that out.
Maybe I should bring it over to a homeless shelter or something.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Stuart.
For Bill in Round Rock, C9 lights. That's what I put on anything that's, I'm nervous about freezing. C9 lights, the old Christmas tree lights with a blanket on top, and maybe that will help him get through some of those really cold winter I mean, mine.
Round Rock evidently really has a big problem with a lot of stuff.
Mine in Fremont, I'll put them on my lime trees, and we got some cold. We got down to 20, 29
really?
One night. And I have another thermometer on my limes, and that stayed at a toasty, like, 41 degrees. So even, So anyway, something for Bill. And sometimes I'm fearful of our earthquakes here in California, but when you can see what a destructive thing coming at you, like a tornado, I don't know. I'll keep my fingers crossed for the earthquake. The last.
You just don't know how. You know, it could be a little one, and it could be a devastating one.
Yeah.
These earthquakes, and so I'm not really prepared for any of them. I just say, well, when it comes, and then we'll see what happens.
Well, we've been
one thing about earthquakes. Make sure you know how to turn off the gas to your house.
That's correct. Yes.
Boy, that's number one. You shake it, baby, but run outside and get that gas turned off. Otherwise, your house can be burned down before you even get back into it.
Exactly. All right,
Stuart.
That's the PSA for today. Take care, you guys. Bye-bye.
All right, Stuart. Thank you. You take care. Mark and George and Henry, just hang on. I'm going to get right back to you. I have to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Bob Tanham and the Garden Talk, Radio 560 KSFO.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for The Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
You're listening to Bob Tanham in the Garden on Talk Radio 560 KSF.
Let's go to Mark in San Francisco. Hi there, Mark.
Hi there, Bob. Blackbird picking time. Well, that's a great
you
song.
You got it. Oh, Jesus.
Wow. Got me giggling, yeah.
Well, there you go.
I have these garlics growing, bulbs growing in a flat. I have some in pots, but I have them in a flat. And boy, they took off so wonderfully. And the greens are real wide and about, 18 inches high. So what should I do now?
Well, first of all, I'm trying to figure out, they're in a flat. Are they still supporting themselves?
Yeah,
not flopping over?
It's only about, let's see, 3-inch flat. But they're doing better than any garlics I've ever tried to grow.
Well, because of the soil, and they can probably gobble up all the nutrients that are in that flat. But I'm not quite sure. Okay, normally I would plant them in the ground, 4 to 6 inches in the ground. So if you have 2 to 3 inches of soil, boy, I don't know, maybe you'll have good garlic.
Leave well enough alone, maybe?
Yeah, I think, spend your time elsewhere.
Yeah, I've been even pinching off some of the greens and putting them in my salad and on my sandwiches. They're really good.
Well, that's great. You know, if you can do that with them, and of course, you can let them go to bloom. Unlike onions, garlic doesn't affect the end result of garlic when they go into bloom. So, try it. It sounds interesting, Mark. It never occurred to me to plant them in a flat.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, I've been putting leaves to hold the moisture, and, you know, I guess that's breaking down nicely for them, or dried leaves. And at what point, let's see, because I was able to get garlic to go to
a bulb.
Where they develop bulbs, plural, the greens were much wider. And is it true that as I pinch off, I pinch them off all the way to the quick of the plant, and does that help?
No, you
encourage the root to the bulb itself.
Only cut off the outside leaves, Mark. Don't cut off the center part. That's the growth part. Yeah, that's the one that energizes the bulb. So, no, if you are going to cut anything back, it would be probably the all the outside leaves could go, but you got to say that center piece because that's the method by which the garlic actually forms the bulb. So I think you're right. In good shape if you let that go. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot, Bob.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark, for the call, and thank you all of you for listening. It's a wonderful, wonderful morning here. Hopefully, we get some rain, and that's one of the things I wanted to bring up. I don't have any. You got 5 minutes if you want to jump in and get me a call at 1-415-808-5600. Okay, some of the noise. Now, if you are a hummingbird feeder person, it is time to either bring it out and start all over again, but make sure you clean your hummingbird feeder really good before you put it out there. Otherwise, there's smart enough birds that if you got garbage in the hummingbird feeder, you're not going to have really healthy birds around. So, yeah, it's the time to get that thing out there and make sure it's all cleaned up and everything nice. So you can go from there. Another thing, we're hoping for rain, but if we don't get enough of it, please keep on praying because there's somebody out there that did pray and was answered because that first storm that we had, at least in Northern California, was a whopper. It filled up all of the swamps and everything else around there, and it worked out really very well. I'm not sure about the possibilities of of the rain coming, supposedly. Weathermen are trying really hard, and what you've got to do is just pray a little bit better, more effectively. But there evidently is a guy out there or a girl that can pray and rain happens. So please, if that person is around and listening, go ahead and pray some more. Here we go. One of the other things, let's see, countdown. Here we go. You have you planted your seed. If you planted your tomato seeds, they should be up about 2 to 3 inches right now. So during the day, you can move them outside, but don't plant them yet. It's not Easter time, and you have to do that after Easter time. So go from there. But if you, it's a little late to put in seeds. And what I have seen or have heard about that's sort of interesting to me, some of the big tomato growers in the in California plant, don't bother with the little plants. They just plant seeds. I haven't heard the results of that, but evidently that's one of the new things for some of the farmers that don't have to go buy plants. They can just go do their seeds or whatever, that type of thing. So tomato time is coming, the plants, but do that kind of thing. In the meantime, let's go to Bonnie in San Francisco. Hi there, Bonnie.
Yes, I have 3 Australian tea trees. They're quite old. They're blooming right now up the top, but they're very leggy, and I'm not sure if I can trim them or cut them back to make them more bushier.
Oh, yeah, sure. They're pretty much indestructible.
So I could cut them way, way down?
Yeah. Let's see. That we're talking about, yeah. I would make sure you don't you have a lot of stems to cut back rather than just a trunk, okay? Do you know what I mean?
Do you know when do I do that? Do you know, because they're blooming right now.
Right after they're through blooming.
Okay, and then cut them just below all those little stems?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, thank you very much, Bob.
Well, thank you for calling. You got me off the hook right now. With the lack of calls. But anyway.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.